But let's talk about the NFL. We're 3 weeks in, looking ahead to week number four. It's Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw from the Associated Press. Let's welcome back to the show Rob Motti. Rob, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
Happy Wednesday, fellas.
It's Woman Crush Wednesday around these parts, so we'll take it as we get it, if you know what I'm saying. Rob, let's look at a couple of teams off the slow starts and on the they're done scale. Your thoughts? Miami's 1-2. Cincy's 0-3. Jacksonville's 0-3. Of those three, who's done?
Miami, certainly. 1-2 with no idea when Tua Tagovailoa is going to come back. And we now see the importance of Tua in that offense. If anyone doubted what he means to the Dolphins, just look at what that team looks like with Skylar Thompson and whoever else is under center. As long as he's out, I know they've got weapons. I know they've got a running game, but they can't get the job. The 1-2 is an uphill battle in the AFC East, especially with the Bills at 3-0, the Jets at 2-1, and looking like they're going to be a contender as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. I'm also down on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really thought that they would contend for the AFC South. Very familiar with Doug Peterson. Was impressed with what he was able to do in Philly, winning a Super Bowl in his second year. Always fielding a winning team. Goes to Jacksonville, inherits Urban Meyer's mess, turns them into a winner in their first season. But since that 8-3 start last year, guys, this team, they finished up last season 9-8, and now they're 0-3, and we know what it looks like for 0-3 teams trying to make the playoffs. I believe it's six teams who started 0-3 since 1979 have made the playoffs, and none have won the Super Bowl. None have even made it to a Super Bowl, so it's going to be tough go for Jacksonville. Cincinnati, they got Joe Burrow, and as long as they got Joe Burrow, I think they got a chance.
Hey, Rob, how good is Josh Allen playing right now?
Man, he's playing like a guy who is tired of all the nonsense, right? You hear about overrated, and that was a player's poll, which surprised me, because I want to know which players in the NFL really felt like Josh Allen was overrated, because he's really showing what he's made of, and they lose their top two receivers, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. I had an opportunity to talk to Josh maybe a week or so before the season, and he didn't seem at all concerned that it was about 150 receptions, 2,000-plus yards gone, and having to replace those guys. And if you kind of heard him speak after the win Monday night against Jacksonville, he's talking about guys who are not worried about their stats, guys who just want to win football games. And it was kind of a shot at Stephon Diggs without saying Stephon Diggs' name. So I think he's always played with a chip on his shoulder, but I kind of feel like that chip's even bigger this year, because the Bills were kind of sort of counted out, overlooked in the AFC. They weren't coming into the season as one of the darlings, one of the favorites. They were kind of put on the back burner, and that's kind of how they like it. And Josh is right now, 3 weeks into the season, he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, I think he's by far and away the runner, run away with it right now. Now, what about, who I was impressed with? Aaron Rodgers, his movement. I thought he moved around extremely well. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And we kind of forget, because it was Thursday night, and it was so long ago in the realm of NFL football, but he looked really sharp. I was most impressed, as you pointed out, his ability to move around, scramble around, get some yards, buy some time. He made some incredible throws. The one, I believe it was Garrett Wilson, put it where only Garrett Wilson can catch the ball, and it was a touchdown. But Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. He's not going to be the Aaron who was 30 or even 35. But the way he was able to move around, get some yards with his legs, extend some plays, and create, I think, is such a big part of the process for him coming back. He seems to have that swagger back. We know his mind. We know his intelligence. He's one of the best, the smartest quarterbacks out there. But now the physical is kind of sort of coming back to where he hoped it would be post Achilles tendon injury. So I think as long as they keep him, as long as they protect him and keep him upright, the Jets are going to be contenders in the AFC East. It's, for me, it's a two-team race, Jets and Bills, and it's a long way to go, guys.
Hey, Rob, would it be fair to say right now that the NFC North is the best division in football?
Man, who would have thought the Minnesota Vikings would be 3-0? It's a good question, because you look at a team that everybody thought might be a consensus pick for last in the NFC North. Caleb Williams joins the Bears, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift, they make all these moves, and suddenly people are looking at the Bears as a playoff team, but they're only 1-2. The Vikings kind of flipped that. They're 3-0. We know about the Lions. We've seen what the Packers can do with Malik Willis bouncing back and winning two games without Jordan Love. If it's not the best, it's certainly right up there. I also like the AFC North. So I think the two Norths are the toughest divisions in football right now.
Now, Rob, we have a huge game here Sunday night. Buffalo's coming to town versus the Ravens. What do you think about that one?
Man, the Ravens, I thought they would go to Dallas and win because they were a desperate team, and they did. But it concerns me a little bit that you're up 28-6, and you know the Cowboys aren't going to give up and they're not going to fold, but they turned that into a close game. It's a concern only because they've consistently been outscored in the fourth quarter. They got to find a way to put teams away. That said, they did what they had to do. They went on the road, they beat a Cowboys team that was reeling, and they got their first win of the season after a terrible loss against the Raiders. Now you have the Bills coming in. Buffalo's got the first of three straight difficult road matchups. So, short week, Monday night football for the Bills. It kind of gives the Ravens a little bit of an edge. I think I haven't made my final picks. I pick every game, guys. I have to pick every game, and I have to do it on a Wednesday, which is so hard before injury reports and everything's out. And somehow I'm above 500, so I'm happy with that. I'm picking games on a Wednesday. Right now, I'm telling you, I'm leaning towards the Ravens. They're a 2.5-point favorite, and I think they're home. They find a way to knock off the Bills and win that game.
Rob Motti, Associated Press, talking NFL, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Rob. How does Gardner Minshew go from a guy that's beaten the Ravens twice in Baltimore back-to-back years to a guy that's now barely holding on to his job? We talk about the mysteries of life. That's got to be one of them right now.
Well, you're talking about a guy who didn't he live in a van for a period of time? Like Gardner Minshew is a different kind of character, man. And he finds it's. It goes back to like I wrote about it this week. The cliche, any given Sunday. This is what the NFL is. There's so much parity. There's so much competitive balance. The NFL loves it this way because teams are still in contention into week 16, 17, and 18. And anytime you go out there, even you look at the Chiefs, they're 3-0, but they were two penalties away from that went their way. And had they gone the other way, they could be 1-2. So you never know. In this league, you really never know. Malik Willis, who would have thought he'd step into the lineup and find a way to win two games for the Packers? And the same with Gardner Minshew. I've seen him at his highest. I've seen him at his lowest. And unfortunately for Baltimore, they've gotten him when he's been at his best.
Rob Motti, Associated Press. Rob, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy week 4. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.
You got it, fellas.
There's Rob Motti, everybody, the Associated Press. We're going to come back, count some dough. How's that sound? How about we get a little money into our lives and talk about the sports subjects as well, like the Orioles clinching a playoff spot, which we'll talk about. Jim Hunter, game 2 of this Yankee series coming up tonight. Zach Eflin, Nestor Cortez was scratched. MRI on the pitching elbow. This could be big news for New York going into the postseason because he's been pitching really well. Orioles still have an outside chance of winning the East. Let's get that number one wild card seed, though. Talk about that with Jim. Then we're going to hear from John Harbaugh, rather, as we look back news from the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nest.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Tons to get into in the world of sports. Orioles going to the playoffs. Back-to-back years. Ravens, huge game coming up on national TV Sunday night. Hosting the Buffalo Bills, Maryland's first road Big Ten game Saturday afternoon against Indiana. 7-point dogs are the Terps and many things in between. But right now, let's count the dough, midweek style, by yourself.
Well, we've got a mixed bag today. The Dow's down 237. The S&P's down 5. NASDAQ is up 16. DraftKings is up $2.17. DraftKings made a huge jump. They're up to 41.33. I don't know why, but that's biggest jump I've ever seen for DraftKings.
What was that? $41?
41.33.
Wasn't it down to like 15 or something like that?
It was down before, but it's up a couple bucks. Under Armour's up a nickel, 7.63.
Yeah. Right, there we go. Keep climbing.
We'll start here in the NFL.
Well, the train
today.
That could.
We're talking about undefeated teams. We know the Steelers are one of them. They're leading the way in the AFC North. One of five teams to be undefeated through 3 weeks so far. For the Ravens last week, we were talking about being 0-2, the potential of being 0-3, and what the odds are of making the playoffs when you find yourself in that situation. Well, on the other end of things, teams that start 3-0 might be surprised to hear this, 75% chance of making the postseason. I would have thought it would have been higher than that, but there's your number. Of the current group of undefeated teams, only the Chiefs and Bills were realistic preseason contenders. That won't change now, but what about some of the surprises? Minnesota, Seattle, mentioned Pittsburgh. By or sell, Vinny, one of those three will go on to win their division. Seattle, Minnesota, Pittsburgh.
I'm going to sell it. I don't think any of them will. I don't think any of those three will go win a division. Well, Seattle, the division is all beat up right now with San Fran, L.A. It could be Arizona or Seattle, but if San Fran can get healthy, they'll be back.
Hey, Rams just beat the 49ers, and they're all banged up.
Yeah.
Move over to baseball here. The Tigers, they're pulling out all the stops in their quest for a playoff spot, and that includes calling up their top pitching prospect, Jackson Jobe. He was added to the Detroit bullpen earlier this week. Shelby Miller gets the DFA as a corresponding move. Now, we know their relief pitching actually been one of their strengths this season, especially as of late. So you're not really thinking you have a need in the bullpen, but the hope is the 22-year-old rookie can be that extra piece that puts them over the top. He does benefit here from the September expanded rosters. As we know, for the postseason, those will shrink back down to 26. Buy or sell, Bob, if the Tigers make the playoffs, Jobe will be on the wild card series roster.
Didn't Kerstad kind of do that last year for the Orioles? He was on the wild card or the division series against Texas. I'll buy it because you're bringing them up in high pressure situations. Now, they've been using openers.
Yeah.
The Tigers have, outside of Scooble. Remember, they traded a Flaherty to L.A. at the trade deadline. They've had injuries as well. So they feel enough a competence in him to bring him up. So if he sucks, no. I think this, if he's good, yes. Stinks, no. I'll err on the side of potential and say, I'll buy that. Nolan McGraw. Right now, they're still the third wild card. We'll get to that when we do the standings later in the show.
More in the NFL here. The Vikings talked about them being an unexpected surprise, but their success so far to begin the season, a lot of it can be attributed to their defense, particularly the pass rush. They had five more sacks in Sunday's win over Houston, bringing their total on the season to 16. That's a purple people eater, a pace right there, but even if it is just three games, the all-time best sack season for Minnesota came in 1989 when, as a unit, they collected 71 sacks. 2021 and 1992, they tied for second on that list, 51 sacks in each year. buy or sell, Vinny, this year's pass rush group will give that record a run for its money. They got 16 through 3 weeks.
I'll sell it. Norm, do you even know who the Purple People Eaters were?
That was the late 60s to mid 70s.
Yeah, they lost four Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop the run in the big game.
But Marshall, Eller, Page, and Larson.
But the 89 team, that was...
Was that Dolman?
Dolman, Millard.
Yeah. And that's when they lost to Atlanta, wasn't it?
No, that was 98. That was a whole nother choke job. That was Brian Billick, the OC, got conservative.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gary Anderson makes the field goal. They're up 10. The defense, anyway. But, yeah, whatever.
I think it'll... They'll kind of settle down a little bit.
89, I think they lost to the 49ers in the playoffs.
89. Oh, yeah, I don't...
71, though. And again, shorter season, not what we're at now with the ridiculous 17 games.
Alan Page was a freak.
He was the MVP of the league. Yeah. First defensive player to ever win Most Valuable Player. Hall of Famer, as you would expect.
Did you know that Jim Marshall went the wrong way for a touchdown?
I did not know that.
Against 49.
Yeah.
He's running the wrong way.
Yeah.
How about more from baseball here? The American League wildcard race. It's still a tight one in the final week of the season, and you're seeing quite a few AL Central teams in the mix. Detroit, Kansas City, Minnesota, they've all got their hat in the ring there. Three teams that enjoyed having 13 games on their schedule against the historically bad White Sox. KC and Minnesota both held 12-1 records against Chicago this year. Detroit 9-1, they'll play them coming up this weekend. Oddly enough, the division-leading Guardians, they fared the worst against the White Sox, an 8-5 mark for them. Now, if you remove games played against Chicago from every American League wildcard contender's resume, the Orioles still have the best win percentage. Tampa Bay would be second, while Seattle and Boston tie for third. So this begs the question here, Bob, buy or sell, the Twins, Royals, and Tigers would not even be sniffing the wild card if they played in another division.
I'm going to sell that. Aren't the Tigers 4-2 against the Orioles? And I think Cleveland's kind of giving the Orioles the business this year. I'm going to sell it. I mean, you play the games when you're scheduled. Hey, the Orioles were the sacrificial lamb for the American League East when they played 19 times.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Wasn't Tampa 18-1 against the Orioles? I think it was just 3 years ago. Remember those days?
Yeah.
So I'm going to sell that. But every team in that division above 500 but Chicago, but they're so bad, it brings down the entire division's winning percentage. Their winning percentage, Chicago, is .236. That's a terrible batting average, much less winning percentage for an entire season.
And before we hit the break here, I almost forgot.
Oh, don't do that.
Forgot the day of the week. It's Wednesday.
Oh,
and you know what you can
wise
buy?
Wise Wednesday.
You can buy some groceries. You don't have to sell. You can buy some groceries here because we're giving away a $25 Wise Markets gift card. It can be yours right now if you are fortunate enough to be caller number 5. Give us a call here at 410-583-1057. Again, we're giving away a $25 Wise Markets gift
card. Two dozens of eggs?
Hey, man, I just go with the flow, dude. When we come back, Jim Hunter's flowing with us, talking about the Orioles getting to the playoffs for the second straight year. Still have a really slim chance to win the East, but we'll talk about them getting at full strength and being dangerous in the postseason. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh, news from the Nest Dial, coming up at 12:45. Then we got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock, Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. Yes, they beat Dallas, but that fourth quarter got really, really scary. American League East report at 1:15. And then we'll look at Week 4's NFL schedule and beyond. Talk about the big college matchups of this weekend as well. Here to talk about the Orioles heading into the final 5 games of the regular season, then into the wild card. Longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on Vinny, or on 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, and on Vinny and Haney. He joins us every Wednesday. He's Jim Hunter. Jim, what's up?
Hello there, partner. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Jim. Appreciate the time, as always. Now, you were on the mic the last time the Orioles made back-to-back playoff appearances, 96, then into 97, when they were wire-to-wire. Both years went to the ALCS. Just 3 short years ago, this was the worst team in baseball. Here they are 3 years later, 3 straight winning seasons, back-to-back playoff appearances. That was more of a veteran team back in the 90s. This is a younger group. What's been more impressive here, in your opinion?
Well, I think the fact that they overcame all the injuries, you know, they have all the position players back now with Mountcastle being activated last night, and he did get a base hit. He came into the game and pitch hit for Ryan O'Hearn, who, by the way, had two more hits and big hits in the game. But I think everything they've overcome with the injuries and having, you know, the Yankees had a battle with the Orioles, and unfortunately they've had a bad couple of months. But I think the fact that they are I think the fact that they have overcome all the adversity, and you know what, Bob? I think the pressure is now off. I think the fact that they've clinched and now they can just go ahead and look forward to securing the home field advantage in the wild card round. I think the next 5 days are going to be, there's a weight of the world that has been taken off their shoulders, and I think now they're relaxed and they'll just go ahead and play.
Now, you talk about the returners to the lineup, and it also with Mountcastle, Arias, Westberg improves their infield defense significantly, so we're happy about that. But the rotation, Eflin tonight, Burns tomorrow. We were talking about it earlier, me, Vinny, and Nolan, Jim, that the way things are shaping up, all three are going to be ready for the wild card round next weekend. So from a starting pitching perspective, are we comfortable with the three arms expected to go in those three games, assuming it goes that far?
Well, I think you have to be very pleased with that rotation. You know, you have Eflin, who probably will, because of the way, you know, he's pitching tonight, which means he'd be available on Tuesday. Burns would pitch game two on Wednesday. And, you know, the way Dean Kramer's pitching, I mean, he's had a remarkable second half, and he was outstanding last night. He gave up just the one run on the solo home run to Aaron Judge, who has, 56 home runs now? Yeah. So he does that to a lot of people. But I think the rotation has really fared well for most of the second half. I mean, the bullpen has disappointed. I mean, two more runs allowed last night, and they're way down in bullpen ERA in the major leagues. But I'm very confident in this rotation, because when you have guys like Eflin and Burns, who on any other team could be the number one guy, you're going to give yourself a chance. And Bob, you and I talk all the time on BBT. The starting pitcher's job is to give his team a chance to win. And with those guys on the mound, there's a confidence that they're going to be in the game and they go forward from there. So I'm very confident in this rotation for the playoff run.
Jim Hunter joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking Orioles going to the playoffs for the second straight year, taking on the Yankees tonight. Now, Albert Suarez had been giving the Orioles a chance to win for most of the season. September earned run average has ballooned to, over 7, if I'm not mistaken. At least for a short series, he moves to the bullpen. What's his role going to be there? Obviously going to strengthen it, because he brings that high 90s heat. What's Suarez going to be doing in the bullpen for Brandon Hyde in October?
Well, I think he's the fallback if a starter has a rough outing, because the one thing about him, he's stretched out because he has been in the rotation for quite some time now, and he could give you multiple innings in the bullpen. So if you're looking to get, you know, let's say the starter goes 5 innings, Suarez can come in and give you 2, and then you can match up in the 8th and 9th with the rest of the bullpen. So I think it just strengthens the bullpen with him going in there, and the fact that he is stretched out, he could give you multiple innings.
Hey, Jim, who do you think would be the best matchup, Detroit or Kansas City, for the O's?
Well, the way the Royals are playing, I would say them. And, you know, the Tigers just took 4 out of 6 from the Orioles on back-to-back weekends, and they're playing so well. You know, they won 2-1 yesterday because Skubal pitched an outstanding game. And but Kansas City, they had a hard time beating the Nats last night. They won 1-0 in 10 innings, and they're having trouble scoring runs. They did snap their 7-game losing streak. But I would think, just based on how they're playing down the stretch, Vinny, I would say they probably would rather play the Royals than the Tigers.
Now, Jim, the lineup we saw last night, with the exception probably of Mountcastle at first base, is that what we're expecting to see Tuesday?
Yeah, I would say so, because there's a comfort level. And, you know, Ramon Urias at third base, I mean, he's a former Gold Glove winner. And, you know, he's come off the injured list and is really swinging the bat well. I mean, that home run he hit last night, going with the pitch and hitting it out to left center or to right center field, he's a guy that you can count on. And, you know, Westberg was the best hitter on the team when he got hurt, when he got hit by the pitch. So I would say probably. I mean, I don't know where Jackson Holliday figures in all this, but I would say that Brandon Hyde's going to go with the guys that are here and guys that he knows can play.
What about the Yankees here, Jim? Final five games. Looks like Nestor Cortez could be in peril. He's not starting tonight. Obviously affects their rotation and bullpen heading into October. How are you feeling about New York and their health situation?
Well, obviously they've had a very good year. They've been very consistent. The Orioles winning last night to prevent the Yankees from clinching the AL East, that was big. And now the Orioles are, five out with five to play. So either an Oriole loss or a Yankee win in the next 2 days, they clinch the division. But, you know, it's all about pitching in the playoffs. And, you know, unfortunately for the Orioles, although it did help them last night, they're still prone to the home run to score runs. I mean, three of the five runs they scored last night were on solo home runs. But the Yankees have a very good bullpen. They have a deep rotation. Gerrit Cole will likely pitch game one in the division round because they're going to clinch a first round bye. And I think they do have the overall pitching to make a big run. But again, you know, last night they were facing Clark Schmidt, the Orioles, a guy who's very tough to score on, and they were able to get to him for three runs. And they won the game. So, you know, again, Bob, I think the fact that the Orioles now have clinched and they can relax and just look forward to the rest of the season, the five games, and try to clinch that home field advantage in the wild card. And then they know at a minimum they're going to get three games in the wild card round at Camden Yards, which will be rocking.
And I tell you what, if the Yankees do get that number one seed and the Orioles get through that wild card round, these two teams will revisit each other in the ALDS. I'm going for the gusto. Win these next two. Let the Yankees have to win that division against the Pirates. How's that sound, Jim Hunter?
I think that's
I don't want them dancing
because
on me.
Not only would the delay in the clinching the AL East for the Yankees be good, but I believe the Orioles' magic number to clinch that number one seed is two. So if you win the next two nights in New York, you wrap that up before you head to Minnesota.
He's Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight here on 105.7 The Fan. Jim, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday during the playoffs.
All right, Bob. Good to be with you and Vinny.
Yep, got it, thanks. And there's Jim Hunter, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We got news from the Nest coming up next. Going to hear from John Harbaugh as he met with the media a couple of days ago. Revisit some of the things he discussed. John Harbaugh meets with the media later on this afternoon. Ravens back on the practice field, taking on the Buffalo Bills this coming Sunday night. Got film breakdown of the Ravens defense. We talked about the offense, acceptable. They put up 28 points against Dallas. Defense was acceptable till the fourth quarter. Then it got ugly. What happened there? That's coming up 1 o'clock during NFL lunch. We got American League East report at 1:15. And then we'll look at the schedule for week 4. Not only the National Football League, we'll look at some college games, some pretty big ones in week 5.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. 1057 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Since we're doing Ravens film study on the defense coming up at the top of the hour, let's go back to John Harbaugh on Monday meeting with the media. One of the questions was the job that Zach Orr has done so far.
He's done a great job of making the corrections, drilling the corrections, getting the corrections practiced. And the guys got to go out there and do it, and they will. So nothing ever comes too easy. Sometimes it comes easy in first three or four games, and it's like, man, this is the best of something that there's ever been, and all of a sudden it's not so good anymore. There's always this kind of process and evolution, and nothing ever is good, nothing's ever as bad sometimes as it seems. It's that way in football for sure.
Did he even answer the question, Bob?
I think he gave you some circular logic, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, what do you, you know, what's going on in the fourth quarter of all three games? And what adjustments have been made and what adjustments, you know, has he done those things? I mean, because, Bob, what I heard was he's done a good job of making the corrections. You know when corrections are made? On Monday after the game, and implementing those for what we need to fix. Can he fix them during the game? That's the thing. And you know, like if somebody is, you know, attacking, we'll do it in film, but I did notice that, like, on that last drive or whatever, Wiggins won back out there. They had Humphrey on the outside because Wiggins was getting beat. But, I mean, what are they doing in-game to stop something?
Yeah, let's zero in a little bit more on that one. And John Harbaugh was asked about the fourth quarter defensively and what the hell went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the two things go to that. Pass rush and pass coverage tie together, you know, so... We're rushing the passer well, but we can be a little more consistent in terms of our rush lanes. And then coverage is just getting a little loose in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. So that's something that we just have to just understand. Sometimes a call is going to go against you. It may be right. It may not be right. But you can't let that change the way you play.
I think, you know, I mean, coverage was a little loose.
Now, is that a schematic thing, or is it?
It sounds to me like coverage was a little loose. Maybe they weren't playing as aggressive. Bob, on the one play, you know, like where the incompletion was when Stevens, the incompletion to Cooks in the corner of the end zone. I mean, he sat there on his knee, you know, like for a minute. I think because he was exhausted, you know, just sitting there like, oh, I got to catch a breath. You know, so were they a little loose? I don't know. Maybe the secondary was a little tired. I don't know. I showed you pictures of the pass rush. They looked a little gassed. When you're playing 14, 15 plays in a row, you do get gassed when every one of them is a pass. And what he's talking about, pass rush lanes, you know, if you're supposed to run twists and stunts or the blitzer's coming and they run into each other, those types of things, be a little bit more disciplined in their rushing, because he was having quite a bit of time to throw it.
Now, you mentioned Wiggins and his performance Sunday against Dallas. Here is John Harbaugh talking about the rookie from Clemson.
Yeah, I think Nate competed real hard out there. I think Nate, that was a learning game for Nate probably. You know, he had some really good plays. He knocked that ball out.
He
down
got
there
learned.
That was a massive play for us. So proud of him for that. And then other times I think he learned, you know, NFL football sometimes. I mean, we got one pass interference penalty where he didn't even touch the guy. So, but he got another one where he grabbed the guy, you know. So, you know, you got to learn from that. And he will. Some of the leverages he'll learn from. But Nate's a competitor. He's tough. He wants to be good. Love everything about, you know, who he is and where he's going as a player.
Yeah, it was a definite learning experience, Bob. You know, and he learned, you know, two PIs and, you know, gave up a couple plays, gave up a lot of separation. When he watches that film, you know, 5 or 6, 7 weeks from now, he'll go, did I suck in that game? I mean, he wasn't good. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Yeah, and John wasn't trying to BS the people there either.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, he competes, okay. He did that. But first game starting, and you're playing the best receiver, one of the best receivers in the league. So it's not an easy challenge. You don't think that CeeDee Lamb was like, oh, they're putting that kid on me?
Yeah, and CeeDee Lamb didn't play all that great either.
No, he stunk too.
Then finally, news from the NASVIDIA at 81057 The Fed. John Harbaugh met with the media, was asked about, you know, just trying to find that complete game here in 24.
It's not so much that we have to, that we have, like, we're at this level and we're not good, or it's just we got to play more consistently. You know, the way we played in the first half should be the way we play the whole game. I mean, just play that way the whole game. We're capable of doing it, and let's go do it.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like watching it, Bob, they can't let momentum, you know, like after the missed field goal, was like they went in the tank is what it seemed like. I mean, they just kind of, you know, because they were riding high, they can't be an emotional team. You can't go with the highs and the lows. You kind of got to stay a little bit more steady and even keeled. And I think that's probably what Harb's talking about with consistency. Be the same.
be the same whether things are going good or bad. Just kind of hang in there.
5881057 The Fan. When we come back, it's NFL lunch. We're going to get back to the film breakdown of that Ravens game against Dallas, and in particular, the defense and what happened in that fourth quarter. American League East Report and beyond coming up around 1:15. Look at last night's scores. A couple of teams clinched playoff spots and divisions and all that good stuff. We'll get into that. And then coming up around 1:30 or so, we'll look at this week's busy schedule, both college and pro. And if you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Or let's go to the playoffs. Back-to-back seasons. We're still not firing people, are we?